Hello, fellow watch lovers, nerds, enthusiasts, or however you identify. You're listening to 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast with our hosts, with your hosts, Andrew, and my good friend Everett. Here, we talk about watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like. Everett, how are you? You're making some weird faces at the board, and I think I echo your sentiment. There's something wrong.
I think it was your chair was creaking.
Was that it? I sound hollow in my headset.
Well, I don't know how to help you there.
I need to get less hollow.
Yeah, you are pretty hollow.
Put some more muscle on.
You sound fine to me, Andrew.
Okay. Well, as long as I sound good to you, that's all that matters.
You do. You sound terrific. Andrew, I don't know if you asked or not, but I'm doing all right.
I did ask how you were. I messed up the intro maybe for the first time in years. Over 100 episodes.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I can't help
something,
you with that.
The audio was distracting.
You know, I mess up the outro like
every week. I think it's ever been the same.
I would say once a month I mess it up proper. But yeah, I don't know what's wrong with you. I have no excuse for you.
I have no excuse for me.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm also doing well. We have, this week is mayhem. It is our overlap week between fall and winter sports. So every day has a practice. It's nice that there's not two practices in one day. Although I would have preferred that because it would be really easy to just not go to the first week of practices for the other sport. But it's making for a really hectic week of practices and games and busyness. That's not fun. I don't like winter sports because they're all indoors.
Mm.
Marcus trying volleyball this year.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, the same sound as basketball. I hate elementary school gyms. Their echo can make two children sound like an entire fucking marching band.
Mm.
And that is really not a fun environment to spend an hour in, especially when you make those two children into 10 with bouncing balls, screaming, and corresponding chaos.
Are you coaching?
No, fuck no.
Well, then why would you be there?
Because it's raining outside.
Go to your truck. I very rarely stay for practice anymore.
I stood outside to be at least proximate.
Mm.
And even from outside the gym, it was still like ball peen hammer to the nugget loud.
I'm really sorry you had to go through that.
It was not fun. I won't do it again this week, which is nice. Other than that, I'm good. You know, we have that chaotic week of overlapping practices. My air conditioner compressor blew. That's super fun. So my house is just hot because though we are in late October, it still gets warm. Dude,
we've
in the
had
house.
A few toasty days. Yeah.
It gets warm in the house. So, you know, maybe I'm not good. Maybe I'm just adequate. I think I'm okay.
Whiny, maybe.
Maybe. When your house gets to 75 degrees and you can do nothing about it, talk to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I live in an air conditioned house for the first time in my entire life for the last 3 years. So, yeah, I think I'd be okay, but
I'm not.
I'll come talk to you.
I'm not okay. Other than that, you know, I'm just chugging on along.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. We should probably at least briefly talk about the Oregon Ducks.
Because we need to talk about the Oregon Ducks.
They're still ranked number one. Look, y'all, we're Oregon grads. This is a moment for us. Let us have it. Let us have it. Even if it's just a moment. Even if it's just a moment.
We've waited a long time for this.
Yeah.
A decade, in fact.
Well, you know, it's like anything else. It feels really fleeting. You know, college sports are so, football in particular, is such an odd sport, right?
I have some bitches about football rankings this year.
Well, and the way we do rankings is so weird, too. You know, in the NFL, it's so rare for a team to go undefeated. And you say what you will about parity, but like, oh, you know, the Jets beat the Bills in week three does not necessarily mean the Jets are better than the Bills. But we make these
strength of schedules.
Yeah, we do the, like in college football, like the margin of, we put a lot of effort and attention into separating folks out about, you know, separating teams out about these things that we assume are meaningful, even though they maybe don't mean. Anyway, long story short, you can lose any given Sunday, as Al Pacino said.
Saturday.
Or Friday. In this case, Saturday. This
year, yeah. And Thursday, even. What the fuck? College football's crazy.
It's such an odd, it's such an odd thing. In any case, we are ranked number one. I'm going to relish it. Go Ducks.
And I think we stand to hold it for the rest of the year. When you look at the remainder of our schedule.
I'm going
to
find some wood. Hold on. Yeah. Yeah.
You look at the remainder of our schedule. Every game we have ahead of us is not just like a could win.
Well, we got to go to the big house
on Saturday. Yep.
We play Maryland. We play Maryland.
We could fumble it here for sure.
Yeah.
But we don't have Ohio State. We don't have
until the Big Ten Championship.
Right. We don't have perhaps big games ahead of us. Those are all behind us. We're sitting at number one. Somehow undefeated Miami is sitting below defeated Georgia, who lost to Alabama, who lost to Vanderbilt, and who's Alabama's other loss?
Alabama just lost to Vanderbilt in Georgia.
Yeah. Somehow Vanderbilt's just barely sneaking in the top 25. Georgia's somehow ranked above them. I don't understand college football rankings right now. There are one loss teams ranked above no loss teams. I mean, I think in the top five.
I think it's real simple to look at Georgia and look at Alabama, or not Alabama, to look at Georgia and then look at Miami.
Miami has played no one.
Georgia's a better football team.
They have played no one. I get it. I'm not super okay with Penn State and Miami not being ranked above a one loss team as undefeated teams. I get that they haven't played anyone.
Well, Penn State's ranked three. Anyway, I'm with you. Rankings are always weird. It's a little bit of subjectivity mixed with a little bit of objectivity. And then we change our minds when someone loses to someone else. And it's weird.
In fairness, Oregon has really only, like, we beat Boise State and Ohio State. So we've had two games, like two meaningful games.
Almost unanimous number one, though. Anyway, we're not here to talk about football. These people have had enough.
Nobody's had enough of college football.
We've had enough of you guys talking about the Ducks with your Nike money.
Hey, that's what NIL money does. the only two schools aren't benefiting from. Oh, there was three schools that didn't have any first year transfers this year. Army, Navy, and I forget who the third one was.
Yeah,
but it's because there's a bit of an expectation if you go to either of those academies. But NIL changed the landscape, man. It's college football is wild. And what was it 3 weeks ago that like everyone in the top 10 had the entire top 10 landscape changed. It's NIL has made the college football that we wanted, and also is going to be something that I think we kind of hate.
As with most things in life. Mm-hmm. In any event, we are here not to talk about football, but rather to talk about watches. And watches we will talk about because there were some fun ones this week. And Andrew, you sent me a litany of watches, none of which were on my list, I don't think. And you may have docked one or two after seeing my list, but
I did clear a couple off the list.
We had a fair degree of non-overlap of
yeah
of non-overlapping watches. I think we have about two times as many watches than we could possibly talk about today.
We maybe three. I'm going to start with the Alterum World Timer.
Alterum.
So we're going to go, we'll start with specs real quick.
This was on my list and I dropped it, by the way.
It stayed on my list because it's interesting.
It is.
It's a 30.5 millimeter case, 10.5 thick, sapphire crystal, steel case, SW330 GMT movement, 50 meters of water resistance, 3,000 Swiss, or 2850 Swiss francs. So we're like 3,000 money. And only 100 of them, which is kind of on brand with this watch brand's like historical production numbers. We have an integrated steel bracelet.
Isn't this their first watch?
Is it?
I believe so. I believe this is, I could be wrong, but I think this is Alterum's debut watch.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I think so.
Why does this look so familiar?
You know, I think it's got a bit of like Resence vibe.
It's kind of got like a Resence and Ming vibe. And maybe that's why it looks super familiar. But anyway, so we have a twin stick, internal rotating bezel, GMT with like floating disc markers for hands. And that's what intrigued me. This has like a very Ming feel with 1, 2, 3, 4 independently rotating discs in the dial. The center disc is your hour hand. Outer disc is your minute and GMT hand. Third ring is your GMT hours. Fourth ring is your kind of typical GMT location markers, indices, script around it with a super interesting, very 70s case design, like that 70s futuristic design. Like this is the watch I feel like you would wear at a Blockbuster renting Alien for the first time. You know, so on your integrated Inlink, you have how many? 2, 4, 6, 7 vertical engraved markers. Almost, I mean, they're not intended to be like faux links. It's just an engraving. There's vertical engraving along
it's
it's
a flat link with a design.
Along your integrated lug and into the bracelet, flat link with those same vertical engravings. Like this watch looks like it should have been worn in Alien. It's like futuristic, but wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't mean to correct you, Andrew.
Butterfly clasp on this thing.
But you've said Ming a few times, and I don't think that's the brand you're referring to. And so I'm going to give
you... No, it looks Ming-y.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to correct yourself, but I don't think Ming has a watch that's anything like
this. It's not like this, but it evokes like a Ming-y feel.
So I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I think you're thinking of a different brand. So if you want to go back and revise your comments, then that's great. Otherwise, I'll just let you stick with it. I was just giving you an opportunity. I mean, what are you?
What brand? What are you telling me? You think?
Well, I don't know. That's my point.
Look at like a Ming Loom Plot, like a loomed up Ming watch, and that's what it's doing for me. That same floating kind of sensation on the dial.
All right. I could be wrong. Maybe that is what you're thinking of. I don't see it, but
that's okay. You don't have to see it. Yeah, open your eyes. Take off your glasses, or put on your glasses. Maybe you need your prescription checked. This also like this kind of like utility, sporty watch reminds me of, oh, I wish I could remember the name of the brand, that British fella.
Ming.
I am going to punch you right in your testicles. Today's the day. The British fella, his mom came into the background of our interview with him. He makes the Altium. What's the name of the brand?
This is the Altium.
No, he makes brands or makes watches that sound like this.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be difficult, Andrew.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like. Oh, you guys at home, I bless your hearts. I think that
this I'm going to punch you.
I think this is
Arkin. It reminds me, like, Ken it kind Lamb. Of has an Got Arkin it. Feel. Yeah. Sorry, Ken. I remember your mom, but not you, for reasons that you probably don't want to know. Yeah, it kind of has like an Arkin feel to it, like utilitarian, sporty. I like this. But it's got a interesting kind of needless refinement to it with the floating disc hands and markers.
Yeah. I you know, gone are the days, I'd say gone are the days when we're talking about a new watch brand every week, right? Or every other week. It sort of seems like the watch releases are slowing down, right? So we're not getting that same.
I think the ones that catch our attention are slowing down. I think we're getting probably not necessarily the same amount of saturation, but the far less interesting presentations.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there might be a bit of a bit of like an inoculation, but I do think new brands have slowed down. So it's cool when we see a new notable brand. I love this watch for all the things it's doing. I also don't love it even a little bit for all the things it's doing.
I think people will be hard pressed to drop $3,000 on this.
Yeah, and that's the other thing.
It's a 330 movement. Like nothing.
I think it's a novel timekeeping, and it looks to me like it's really well put together. So I'm not prepared to say it's not worth the money. I just think it's a bit. It's such a particular. Enigmatic watch.
Yeah, it's a textured black dial. I mean, it's a really niche watch, and I think they might struggle to push out all 100 pieces.
You know, I don't know if we've ever talked about Pollen, Andrew. Have we ever talked about Pollen on the show? So Pollen,
like the shit that comes from trees and makes my life suck for 6 months a year.
Different than that.
Oh, then probably not.
Pollen is a Scottish brand, and they're actually the sister brand of Ann Ordain, which is a brand that we have certainly spoken about. Ann Ordain has, Pollen has a model called the Module, I believe, is how you say this.
I think it's Module.
Maybe. It's either Module or Model. But Pollen has the Module line. Model. I haven't decided. Let me make a decision.
I like Module.
I'm gonna go with Module.
I don't think that sound exists in many Scottish words.
I'm sticking with
it. I don't think the J is there with the D.
Okay, so Module.
I think Module.
So Pollen has a line of watches called the Module. And in that line, they've just released two new variants called the Model D and E. Module.
What about A, B, and C?
Module.
Okay, so I hate every way you're saying this word.
You know, let's just call this Model. Okay, Model D.
I'm good with that.
Pollen is really known for its sort of quirky, like blocky, bright colors. I mean, they just, if you've seen one, you know exactly what I'm
talking about. Kind of like 1970s Ferrer.
I wouldn't attempt to describe this. I'd rather you just look at it. Google pollen watches, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about instantly, and then we'll be done. But what they've done here is they've expanded the series with these two new movements, and we've got these two new models of models. We have a 35 millimeter hand wound, a 35 millimeter quartz, and a 39 millimeter automatic tonneau case. I'm going to call this a tonneau. Is that
yes, a tonneau? This is for sure. This is every bit of a tonneau.
And I'm vibing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm vibing. So one of the things that they've done with these watches is they've reduced, so they've got a fairly big dial, and they've reduced the size of that dial with the markers, giving them a little bit of room to play with the size of the hands. So these have what I would call an exceptionally short hour hand,
mm-hmm.
a pretty short minutes hand, and then a full-length second hand. And that doesn't sound like it should work, but it does. And it works because of the use of space on the dial. So I think it's fair to say, and I'm just going to say it, pollen is making exceptional use of the dial in a way that is whimsical and playful and fun and yet legible.
And but it doesn't look whimsical, playful, and fun. On like top down, when you look at it, this looks like a dial. It doesn't have weird colors. It doesn't have oddities. And then you look at it and you're like, oh, look what you did there. It's a trick.
I think that's fair, Andrew. Yeah, I don't think I disagree with that. So, yeah.
Because it is whimsical, playful, and fun.
It doesn't really... These are aesthetic watches, right? I assume they're exceptionally well built. Even though they're not, you know, these exceptional and ordained dials, right?
They still have a lacquered option, though.
They do have a lacquered option. But these are more aesthetic models. These are meant to look like a thing. So you don't, we'll talk about the specs. But what I want you to do is look at these.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to look at these because I think I really like them and I think you might really like them. So what do we have? We have a LJPG 101 movement, which is a fantastic movement, 68-hour power reserve. We also have in the handwound models an ETA 7001, which is a fine movement. And then some sort of quartz movement. I don't really care what it is. The what we have is 825 pounds, 829 pounds for the handwound 35, 750 pounds for the automatic, and something less for the quartz, which I had it available and now I can't see it. They're just not going to tell us. That's okay. That's okay. 35 millimeter case or 40 millimeter or 39 millimeter case, 18 and 20 millimeter lugs, respectively. Lug to lug, I don't see that dimension, but I know. Oh, here we go. 40 millimeters on 35 and 30. Oh, 45 on. Oh, and 45 on the 39. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. 9.7 on the automatic, the 39, and 8.2 on the 35. Both of them with 50 meters of water resistance. Dimensionally, this watch is terrific.
Yeah. I think what's most interesting to me is it's like a choose your own adventure. you can have any dial variation in any size.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
There's a small seconds. There's a center seconds, black dial, white dial, rhodium dial.
Great case. Deceptively awesome handsets. Great fonts. Great use of space on the dial. Great price. Great dimensions.
And you can buy them now.
And you can buy them. And you can buy them for not a lot of money.
I think I really like that there's no logos. Well, there's no logo,
but they do have a, I would say, a fairly prominent logo text at 7 o'clock.
At 7 and 5, there's Pollen, Glasgow. But the rest of the dial is, this is like very Bauhaus, but not all at once.
And the fonts are all great.
It is good fonts.
Fonts are all great. Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a great watch, right?
Yeah, under $1,000.
And I don't feel like, I feel like a lot of times we see watches that feel like this, you know, maybe it's a Silberstein model or whatever, right? And you're like, okay, I like it. It looks cool, but it's not good in some way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a long
everything is everything lands.
It's been a long time since we've played with the objective watch metrics, but this hits in the objective watch metrics. We're a little low on water resistance, but everything else, it's like
it's 8.2 thick on the 35 and 9.7 on the 39.
Yo, it's terrific, man.
Yeah,
the price is right.
I wonder how Pollen feels about the like the British watchmaking fairs. And
well, I think Pollen's Anardane, so they're
I know, but for their Glasgow specific brand, I wonder how they, you know, nationally.
Well, I think they're in. I think they're. Oh, I hear what you're saying. You know, I don't know. I had it in my head that Anardane was part of the British.
I believe that they are, but I'm just, you know, given the interesting history of those two kingdoms within the United Kingdom, I wonder how they feel about British watchmaking.
You know, I don't know. We could ask them.
We could. Can I talk about something next?
Sure, go.
So this is a watch that I've, and we, and all of us have talked about way too much. Forever and always. This is a new iteration of the Moonswatch. The Moonswatch mission to Earth phase. And I love it. It is one of the most interesting, totally useless complications that has ever existed. So this is a gray dial, gray case, black bezel with an earth phase. So their whole idea is that you have a moon phase, but if you're standing on the moon, earth also phases relative to the sun and the moon. So there is an earth phase relative to if you were standing on the moon. It is the silliest complication that has ever existed. And I love it. I'm going to buy one of these.
I think they're available in boutiques only. So you're going
to have to wait. I know. Well, no, I'm going to have to wait until one comes available second hand for twice the price. And it's going to be bullshit. It's going to really piss me off. But I am for sure going to buy one of these.
This is the one you want.
This is the one. I've finally found the Moonswatch for me. This is the most ridiculous complication that has ever existed, and I love it.
it's nothing more to say about the watch, right? This is just a mission to watch.
Yeah.
But it's got an Earth face, which I agree with you, bizarre and stupid.
And I love it.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
The artwork's really great on the Earth phase.
Is it fair to say that's a throwaway, Andrew?
You're a throwaway.
Yeah. Jaeger LeCoultre. Jaeger LeCoultre.
I think it's Jaeger LeCoultre.
So they released a Master Ultra Thin date with a blue gray dial. Not a watch we would normally talk about here. Not a watch that I would normally be interested in. This is a watch isn't 40 and 20.
I believe it is 40 and 20.
But this isn't a quote unquote 40 and 20 watch, which is just to say, this isn't something that I should instantly be in love with. And yet,
it does all the things.
And yet, I saw this
fucking domed dial.
I saw this this week. I saw this this week. And so there's nothing new here, I believe. There's nothing new here. I don't know JLC well enough to say there's nothing changed here, but I don't believe there's anything new here besides the dial. But oh, what a dial it is. Let me just tell you at home, I'm going to assume you're like me and you're like, I don't know what that is. So the JLC Master Ultra Thin Date is a sport dress watch. Fair. Yes. Agree. Concur.
Accept.
It is unsurprisingly pretty thin. Specifically 7.8 millimeters, which is JLC's thinnest watch. It is 39 millimeters, 46 millimeters tip to tip. So it's not a dainty watch, but it is incredibly lusciously thin, I would say. And something about this dial, 7.8 includes a center rotating automatic movement. Okay. So this is a full on, it's not a small rotor or micro rotor. This is a center rotor automatic movement at 7.8 millimeters with an in-house Caliber 899, which is sort of a basic bitch movement in JLC line. 28.8, 38 hours, 35 joules, so beautiful. And each one of these things gets tested for 1,000 hours, I guess. All right, cool.
What a bizarre spec.
This is all about the dial, dude. This watch with this dial is, golly, I'm a believer. When I saw her face, man, Andrew, I'm in love. I fell in love with a watch this week.
It's a gorgeous watch.
10,000 euro. So it's not cheap, right? This is
But it's Jaeger LeCoultre.
It is. It's not crazy.
No, it tracks.
That's not a crazy amount of money. This is a watch, dude. And this dial, this color, this watch, this case. Did you see? So I sent you an article. Did you see the case profile on this thing?
Yes. It's as good of a case profile as a case profile can get.
Is neck and futs.
It's slim. It's like long and sultry.
And I kind of like how wide it is.
The lugs are like super flat.
And you know, so when I saw the headline, I was like, oh, that's an attractive watch, but. I don't really go for.
I don't think you can really dig it until you see the profile.
I don't really go for these like Bulgari or, you know, Piaget octofinissimo type things. Like, that's not my thing. I don't care. That's too thin. I don't want a paper thin. This isn't that. It's still a watch, but mm-hmm. it's beautifully thin.
It's still got some curve. I don't want dimensional lumber.
I fell in love.
I want a tree.
I fell in love with this watch.
Yeah, this is a really sexy watch.
I don't know where the closest place to put one of these on, but I may have to try to find one of these in person before.
I think Seattle's your best bet.
Too long. Yeah, maybe, or maybe down south somewhere.
Maybe, or like Las Vegas.
Or San Francisco, maybe.
I think Vegas would be more fun for us.
Yeah, fair.
We'll do a traveling roadshow. We'll go to Las Vegas for...
And that domed dial, Andrew, I know you called it out, but that domed dial.
Yo, the domed dial.
Color match date wheel on
this
thing. It's
like super subtle, but it grabs all the color and light and fuck.
You know, it's got a bit of a cocktail time vibe to it. I know that's unfair to both of these watches, but...
I think that's complimentary of the cocktail time. It has that like very subtle, refined feel that I think is what the cocktail time is trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Like this is what the cocktail time wants to be. And this is what you want when you actually buy a cocktail time.
Yeah. And the cocktail time is also like 14 and a half millimeters thick. So.
Yeah. Which is why I say this is what you want when you buy the cocktail time.
Anyway, that's all I have to say about it.
So I read an interesting article by Rich Forden this week.
Don't know who that is.
He writes for Hodinkee.
Okay.
The article is Breitling agrees to protect the NFL shield via a licensing deal. And I read it because I was like, oh, whatever. Like, that's kind of an interesting thing, right? Because we talked about the Breitling NFL partnership a couple weeks ago. They had an NFL shield. They branded all 32 teams. I was like, it's worth a little skim. And then I started reading it and I was like, oh, this is interesting. So really my big takeaway, and we'll link to this, the big takeaway is that the US market has grown significantly for Swiss watchmaking, which is prompting Swiss watchmaking to pay attention to it. And that's interesting.
Perhaps for the first time in decades.
Yes. So Swiss watchmaking is pivoting away from their Asian markets in a meaningful way. We're talking 10% of their market segment of their, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
When you hold a certain amount of market sales, it's called, I used to like.
Market share?
Yeah, market share.
you know, this surprises
10%
me.
Of their market share has shifted, like the US market specifically has outpaced Asian markets for Swiss watch brands, which is prompting Swiss watch brands to pivot their attention to the momentum that they've gained.
Is this a gross shift? Like the US is buying more Swiss watches than Asia? Like gross?
Yes.
That's surprising.
At least relative, like based on this article, which I've not fact checked.
Yeah,
or
sure.
But this article, what's his name? Rich would have me believe that there has been a significant shift in purchasing power in American markets over Asian markets and is prompting changes, right? We see Breitling with an NFL partnership. Breitling with an NFL partnership. And I'll say it a third time, Breitling has the NFL partnership. The NFL is one of the most influential marketing apparatus in these United States, people watch the Super Bowl for the ads. I'm really intrigued to see what Swiss watchmaking mega brands do with this interesting paradigm shift away from Asian markets and into the American market specifically. This could be really cool. Or it could be a nothing.
Or it could be nothing.
It could absolutely be nothing. Because, you know, we see brands like Rolex who, you know, they have these big sports brands, these big affiliate partnerships, and just keep doing what they do. Tudor's the same way. A lot of these Swiss brands just like, we are, we have this partnership, whatever, we're the official sponsor. But when I think this kind of market shift and increase in demand as a, if I'm a brand owner, like if I'm a CEO, I see this not vacuum, but desire for my product, I'm going to lean into it. And I'm interested to see, you know, Breitling is the first domino. Breitling in the NFL. I'm interested to see what other dominoes fall toward focusing on the American market.
Yeah, you know, I when we talked about these NFL watches, I was unapologetically...
I was intrigued.
I was unapologetically negative.
And remain so. And rightfully so, if we're being fair. They're novelty watches. And a brand like Breitling doing Macy's counter watches is weird. But is also like an indicator, right? That's a big clue.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. All right. I'm here.
There's some rumblings of the winds of change are blowing.
Fine. This is an interesting article. Fine. I'm with you.
You're not. You're just always so negative. It's been 10 episodes since you said something nice to me. That's
absolutely not true.
You're right. You ask me, how are you every week?
You know, I'm in a weird place here, Andrew. What do we have? Two more watches each?
Oh, yeah, two. I have a lot of recipes open.
Okay, I think...
How many tabs do you have open on your phone right now?
One.
No. Obviously, one tab open. How many tabs do you have?
One.
What?
One. So
you just open and close them?
I'm a tab closer.
I have 51 right now.
I cannot prepare for a show with open tabs. So I
will. How do you reference back to the tabs that you want to talk about?
I text them to you. As I text them to you, I close them. I know.
That stresses me out.
That's wild, right? Okay. I know what I want to talk about. I know what I want to talk about. I've got two watches.
So you go into our text thread to open your tab?
Yeah. And then as soon as we're done, I close it again.
What the fuck?
So Awake is a brand that we've never talked about on the show.
We haven't.
It's
Are you sure that's the tab you have?
A French indie brand. And they released a watch called the Sonmai, which is its very first permanent collection. And it's comprised of four time-only references illustrating the art of ancestral Vietnamese sanded lacquer paired with the application of pure silver leaf gilding.
Hmm.
So these are Le Jeu Perret powered steel case
time only automatic watches. They go for 2,000 euro. And for a French brand, I think this is pretty stinking cool. So the owner, a fellow named Tabal, discovered this ancient Vietnamese lacquer art Son Mai on a trip to the country. So France and Vietnam have this historical connection. Some of it interesting, some of it a little bit
questionable. Very much like America and Vietnam's relationship,
yeah, different than that, right? So Vietnam was what, a French territory or colony, I'm not sure, for a long time. And so Vietnamese cuisine is actually known by these French influences, this Asian. Anyway, long story short, this is cool. These are cool. I saw these and I was like, oh, whoa. And then I was like, wait, what? So these have a Super Luminova that's incorporated into these dials, but you can just barely tell. It's backlit under these silver markers with these Son Mai dials and this silver leaf that's been applied. I just, the more I looked at these, the more I was like, wait, what? 39 millimeters, 11 millimeters thick, 11.8 with the crystal. So that's kind of a chunky watch for what these
thick. Eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also chunky. They're also chunky. The case is just a little bit chunky. I don't love the case.
I was going to say, I love everything except for the case.
And at 50 meters of water resistance, I feel like something, there was a missed opportunity here. However, these dials are
That's where the money is.
Great.
Yeah, these are gorgeous. These look like watches that shouldn't have any lume. The way they beveled the markers with the silver onto the lume plot that creates these kind of like ghosted lume plots is phenomenal. It takes it from like this really refined kind of in the realm of a dress sport watch to like postmodern space watch in its lume view.
It's got a bit of a Tron vibe, right?
Very Tron-y.
But if you see them in the daylight, not
at all.
It's only in the dark. And you know me, I don't really go for a textured dial.
You don't.
Like, I'm not a big Grand Seiko texture. I mean,
I wonder what Grand Seiko would call this. Piled carpet, maybe? Yeah. the texture on it's just phenomenal.
Influenced by bowling alleys in Old Town Tokyo.
No, this is fresh rental.
I'm
joking about it as if I don't like it. I really like the texture on these dials.
Oh yeah, me too, 100%. I don't love the dial font, the logo, the awake.
I don't like it, the font either.
Yeah, and I think the case is not as refined as I would want it to be. However, I'm gonna forget about that because I don't care. I think these are so
purple, red, blue, and green.
So attractive.
I almost feel like the font, like, discordant with the rest of the dial is really intentional.
Oh, maybe. Maybe you're right about that, Andrew.
Because it doesn't match so significantly that this isn't an accident.
What's next?
Oh, what's next? Jeez, that was fast.
Do you like how I make that quick transition? I know what you should talk about.
I know what I'm going to talk about.
I don't mess it up, Andrew.
Oh, we already talked about this. Nuts! I was going to talk about the Nevada Grinch and GMT.
We did talk about that.
I'm out of things. The rest
you're
of yours.
Not out of this things. So I'll help you out. ZRC resurrects its 1960s Secura Code dive watch. A historic dive watch prized by the French Navy in the 1960s returns with three vintage-inspired models. Andrew, go.
Okay. So
can I hold on real quick before you go? I want to say Zuccolo Rocher and see. Go ahead.
That's how it's supposed to be said. So I took immediately. I saw these and I looked at them. I was like, oh, these are. I'm into it. 39 millimeter case. 48 lug to lug. 13.4 thick. What? 18 millimeter bracelet width? Like, what? Sleeta SW200 movement. But 39 and 18 at 13.4 thick. Okay. These are non-tapering, flat link, kind of like Bond Clip-esque bracelets that look great. The dimensions look great. I get why they did it. I just don't understand why they had. I have some hiccups.
I heard that.
I don't understand why they had to. So we have a like beautiful 70s inspired by an original design case on these. The loom is great. The font, like design, it, even though it's not font, what are we looking for here? The whole feel is terrific, up to and including this huge ZRC logo at the 12 o'clock and four lines of text at the 6 o'clock. I'm good with all of it. It is a really acceptable iteration on the original design. The original design is two discs of a dial,
and it had like a
minute, like a dive timer in the interior disc.
I think it was actually like a depth gauge.
Oh, was it a full depth gauge?
Yeah. Yeah, and the new ones obviously don't have that gauge.
It's like a really acceptable iteration. I also feel like if you're going to iterate on something so unique, kind of like stay true to it. And if you just want to release a 70s-inspired dive watch, just release a 70s-inspired dive watch and don't call it an iteration of something that it's not, right? It's a really good vintage inspired watch. And so there was I had another vintage kind of 70s feeling dive watch on my list that I cut, cuz this is the thing, right? This is what brands are doing right now, is this 60s and 70s inspired dive watch. And ZRC gets to use this original, you know, IP to inspire a modern iteration. But as much as I like this watch, when I look at the original, I'm kind of bummed out by what it produced. It's like that shitty kid that you have. You know, you have three kids and like one's pretty great, the other's okay, and then you're like, what the fuck happened to you? I'm like, why do you suck? And it's not to say this watch sucks. It's to say that based off of the source material, this is a bummer. Independent of the source material, this watch is great and I really like it. It has all the feels that I want of a 70s inspired dive watch, but when you look at the source material, how did you produce a Ginger Kid? Like, why did that happen to you? I'm sorry.
I'm gonna defend this watch a little bit.
Defend away, because I'm gonna defend this watch a little bit.
So first, this watch was released to celebrate the 120th anniversary of ZRC, which
in operation for 12 of them
in and of itself. Cool. ZRC actually has a bit of chops. It's not a brand we've ever talked about on the show. It's not a brand that I had heard of before you sent me this link. But I am instantly compelled. I'm with you that this watch is a little bit of, it's enigmatic, I'll say, for the second time tonight. But the more I read about it, the more I was like, oh, interesting. So these are a recall of a watch ZRC made for the French Army in 1958.
Navy.
Yes, 1958.
You don't have to get wet in the Army.
Approved in 59. I mean, so like we've got some real chops here. Now, the watch itself, I'm with you. A little bit of a pig, a little bit weird. Got this kind of oversized crown, undersized strap.
I really like the crown. I dig the oversized crown.
300 meters of water resistance rating, although tested to 800 millimeter. It's got a programmed deformation case back with two parts, like a submarine lock, submarine airlock, like a clamped ring and the shielded case back. So it gasket seals with deformation. Independently, right? Which is cool. It doesn't matter today. It with machining tolerances in 2024, you don't need this, but it's cool.
They continue to use that technology. That's totally obsolete. I appreciate.
It's a beefcake, having been tested to 800 meters, and also. It meets ISO 764 standards for magnetic resistance. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, you know?
And I don't dislike anything about this watch, except for it's so unfaithful to the source material. And
Elaboré grade 200-1 movement, which say what you will about the 201, but... fine, great. We've got steel and ceramic or brass.
Bronze. So it comes in three options. It comes in a bronze case with a, or it comes in a bronze,
yeah, excuse me, brass steel dials.
Case, brass with a steel case, ceramic bezel, or an all steel bezel, priced respectively at $3,200 for bronze. 3290 Swiss francs for bronze, 2700 for steel and ceramic, and 2500 for all steel Swiss francs. So we're looking at what, like a 200? We're looking at a, you know, sub $3,500 dive watch. I think we're there. I think the specs are there. I think the design is there. Give me the source material, man. Like, if this had that same bizarro depth gauge dial, or at least some play on it, I'm good. This isn't it. You can't resurrect something without its arms and call it resurrected.
All right. Hanhart. We're going to talk about Hanhart again. Last time we talked about Hanhart, I'm going to throw it out there. I gushed a little bit, okay? Hanhart has become a company that I'm increasingly enamored by. And a lot of that has to do with the Preventer HD12 case, which I'm like, this is the shit, man. Hanhart released, shockingly, amazingly, almost unbelievably, its very first dive watch.
I didn't believe that. When it said first dive watch, I was like, no, I've seen Hanhart dive watches. Nope.
No, haven't. You have not. And they're calling this the Aquasphere. They released this in a color that they're calling Freefall Blue.
Blue. Yeah, blue is the way.
This is a sub. I'm just going to throw that out there. This is a very, we'll call it subby.
Yeah, because it's not a sub.
It's not a sub, but case-wise, bracelet-wise, very, very subby.
Familiar.
And then you get a little closer, and you're like, okay, we got some Hanhart stuff. We've got
shitty font,
evocative Hanhart. We've got like this red anodized detail. We've got a really interesting bezel with the fluting. We've got these terrific lugs. Oh, interesting. We've got these partially carved flanks on the case sides. We've got like serious dive watch specs and bona fides, 300 meters of water resistance, helium release valve. We've got great, I would say great. That's a great, comma, great italics, comma, dimensions. This watch, yeah. All of a sudden, I'm like, holy shit, this watch. And then I look at it and I realize it's fucking terrible.
It is. Can I offer a redeeming quality?
No, you can come back to that. We will come back to it. First, the handset.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know what this is, except that it is the single worst handset I've ever seen on a watch ever. Without any reservations, I say I have never seen a watch with a handset that I hated this much.
The hour hand looks like a partially eaten corn dog.
I do not understand this handset.
It makes no. It's like syringe minute. One of my favorite second hands ever. And the hour hand is.
I hate the second hand.
Oh, I love the second hand. But the hour hand looks like a partially eaten corn dog.
It has markers that it will. So first, it's got a Riot.
The hand lengths make no sense relative to none. The chapter ring none. And markers.
None.
The
markers are way too big. The prominent G.I. Joe 12 is trashy as fuck.
It's pseudo digital.
And the digitals it doesn't even make any sense. The markers are terrible and too mm-hmm. big, and their placement and doesn't make any sense.
The markers could make sense.
The fonts are awful.
If the hands made sense.
All of the fonts are awful. I love
the sweaty picture that we have. It's got like a picture where it's supposed to be like wet, right. But it just looks like a sweaty watch. It's a bad picture. To whoever took it.
This watch should be great. It could be great. And instead, it is, they have, sure.
Subjectivity, I love the second hand.
Subjectivity is subjective. I fucking hate everything. I want to love this watch because I've just fallen in love with Hanhart.
And then
Hanhart, if you're listening, listen, I think you're the coolest brand. I'm newly in love with you. I'm sorry, but I hate it.
Your designer needs a new job.
Mr. Hanhart, I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I apologize that I'm trashing you. I feel okay about it because I love your brand. And the Preventer HD12 is probably the best watch release of 2024. This thing is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I hate it.
You know, all they have to do is change the fonts and the hands.
Right? I think the Rehot's bad and the markers.
No, I think you can get away with that Rehot with different
markers and different hands.
I think you can get away with it with different hands and different font in the markers.
Perhaps.
You know, with just 12 o'clock, I think if you transition to a triangle or maybe two, like a side-by-side marker, I think you could even hold a 12 with a good font.
Also, riddle me this.
The hands just aren't the right length.
What fucking genius made the decision to make this a no date? Because I don't know if that's the right decision or the object. I mean,
nothing about it makes sense.
Almost worse that it's a no date. Like,
no, because you know this would have like a 7:30 date.
7:30 inset.
Like nothing about it makes sense. And they're like, oh, we're gonna make our hands the wrong length. So we're also gonna put the date at 10:30.
Like
gotcha, bitch.
Hanhart's styling is the epitome of classic Pilot and Field watches, right? The Murph is a Hanhart homage. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Hanhart is a brand that needs no introduction. They have quietly owned what they do. And then they release this monstrosity. And furthermore, I'm going to say, I haven't read anyone say a negative thing about this. Oh, isn't that a Hanhart dive watch? No. This thing is trash. Also, look at the case back. What the fuck is this?
It's coral off-gassing. It is.
I almost feel bad about how excited I am.
About how bad it is?
Yes.
Because it makes no sense. It's inconsistent with the brand. It's like a feeble attempt at like modernizing the thing. Don't do it. Don't modernize it, because every modern attempt that you've tried makes you look like Invicta.
No, I don't think so. The HD12 is terrific.
No, this watch.
This is bad.
This is bad.
The fonts are bad. Look, the case is good.
The
execution is great. The
relief cuts on the case are phenomenal.
The price is great. The
integration of the helium release valve into the relief cut is fantastic. Fantastic.
The bezel, the crown guards, the crown itself, the little red detail at 12 o'clock on the bezel, the 12 o'clock pip. I mean, they have done all of the hard stuff really well.
And then they punted the, like, you shouldn't even have to consider it.
What happened here?
I don't know. I think a third grader finished the design. Because the font is so bad. I'm not usually a font stickler. This is the worst font I've ever seen on a dial. It's faux digital. God. Even in the five, if you want to like do like a faux LCD feel, you can't just cut off the top of the five. You have to do cuts in the middle and the bottom also.
It doesn't make any sense.
Nothing
here makes sense.
Every other digit has the faux LCD look, except for the 5 and the 50 of your timer.
I want to say that there's some...
This corndog hand?
There is some, like, he's probably in his 50s now. He's been with Hanhart for a minute. Yes, he still wears a cell phone holster. Fuck off. And he was
like... But he has a flip phone too.
He was like, you know what? I've been here for a minute. I'm a big dive watch guy. Let me take a crack at this. And they were like, all right, Sven, we got it.
Because you go to town. The fonts on the dial are totally okay.
Yeah, they're okay. They're okay. That's relative though, right?
But they're
just okay.
They're just okay. They're not gonna catch my attention, nor are they gonna detract. But the rest of the fonts make me hate this watch.
And why are the numbers on the rehab? The rehab with the black markings. Why are the numbers white on silver?
This is maybe the most negativity we've ever spewed at a watch. Because everything else is great. It's just such...
What the fuck is this? I like pulled it open. I start reading. I'm like, oh, shit. Oh. Okay. God. Oh, Hanhart. All right. Wait, what the fuck?
Why?
What yeah. the fuck? Is, I saw the hour hand and I was like, there's something wrong with my. Nope.
No, my screen's not broken. That's just the worst.
What?
Yeah, it's a bummer. This is like a very citizen move of like, we nailed it all. And to fuck with you guys, we're going to ruin one thing.
No, you know what this is? This is like a entry level.
This is a $400 watch.
$140 watch. Yeah. This is an entry level citizen released in 2013 is what this is. That's what this is. This is something that was meant to be sold at Macy's that they released 15 SKUs and they keep the two that get the best sales. This is one of those that just got punted.
Yeah.
And thrown out into the world. That's what this is design wise. Because the watch is not that. So often we see these gorgeously designed watches. Gorgeously designed watches that are shitty. This yeah. is an awesome watch that is just
like what?
Miserable.
Why'd you let the intern do that?
And I'm not that guy, Andrew. You know, people be like, oh, I hate this. I hate that. The hour, the date, the seconds hand's too short, the minute hand's too. That's not me. That's not me. This watch takes it to another level, though. It's brought that out of me, finally. It's like when my wife doesn't like someone, I know that they must suck. Because my wife likes
everyone.
Everyone.
She's friends with Jeffrey Dahmer. She's a fucking pen pal of his.
This watch, I feel like that's me. Like, I like them all. I kind of like them all. I hate this. All right, Andrew.
I'm super bummed out by it.
Me too. It's a bummer.
Because everything, like, if you were to describe this watch to me, if you were to just read the spec sheet, I'd sport a... I go from 6 to 9.
I feel like Hanhart called me or you or us and they were like, hey guys, we heard. What do you want to do? I feel like we could turn this into one of the best watches on the market today.
Yes.
Because they've done all the hard work.
We just have, you just like the easy stuff. Like get your fucking hands the right length.
They've done all the hard shit. They've got the brand, they've got the heritage, they've done the execution of the watch. I mean, we're making some assumptions here, guys, obviously.
Right up to the design.
I'm like, sorry, Hanhart. We've devoted too much time to bashing on you. We're sorry. I love your brand. I love the Preventer.
Our hatred is driven by our love for you.
Andrew, other things. What do you got?
Do you have a...
Lice? Not presently.
Do you have like a go-to potluck dish?
I mean, Little Smokies are always a winner.
Okay.
Do I have a go-to? I do. I would say it depends on the season. I am a sucker for meatballs, but there's always meatballs.
So you go meatballs or Little Smokies. That's with barbecue sauce in the slow cooker.
In the winter. The problem with those is you're usually competing with other meatballs, so you got to kind of nail the sauce. In the summer, I'm more of like a garlic cream cheese artichoke dip
from Costco.
No.
Oh, you make it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. This cream cheese dips are so easy to make.
Yeah, you just whip them. I know. I make them regularly,
and they're all. And people are always like, "This is so good. What's the recipe?"
Like, I put chives and garlic.
You take a little bit of olive oil, you fry the garlic in it, and then you put it in cream cheese.
If you have time, and if not, you just put raw garlic in it, and it's just a little spicy.
What's your... What?
Okay, so last week, I went to a buddy's house, and he's like, hey, we got all this stuff. Just BYOB. I'm like, well, no, I'm not coming unattended. Did I send you a link?
You did not.
Okay. I'm not coming with just like beer for me to drink. So I went to my go-to potluck dish. Because you can never go wrong with this. My go-to potluck dish is smoked queso. Because it's so easy. Because my grill smoker apparatus is a smoker, right? It's a grill. It can get to temp, but it is fueled.
Primarily a smoker.
It's fueled by smoke. And that's where the heat comes from. So smoking for me is super easy because that's just like what my thing does. It's not a Traeger. I have a Masterbuilt Gravity, if you're not familiar. It's fantastic. I went with it over Traeger because I didn't want pellets.
Go back and listen to episode 284. Maybe.
If that's right, I will give you $100. So anyway, this is my go-to. I take an aluminum tray, and I'll include a recipe for it, but it's just Velveeta, cheese, Rotel. You do have to brown chorizo. Super difficult. Put it all in a pan with some heavy cream. Smoker at 225, and it is phenomenal. It like is the star of the show at any potluck that shows up that you take it to, because it's smoky, it's cheesy, it's delicious. A bag of did you know that Juanita's had to change their name?
Oh no, I didn't know that.
There was some kind of copyright issue with a company from Southern California.
Oh, and now they're Juantonio's.
Yes, and now they're Juantonio's. Juanita's holds a special place in our heart because they're based out of Oregon. They're also the best tortilla chips that you're ever going to have. They never go stale somehow.
Yeah, you can leave them in a bowl on the counter for like 2 days.
Weeks, and they never go stale. They're always like perfectly greasy, perfectly crispy. They're fantastic. So I show up with my aluminum tray of smoked queso, a bag of Juantonio's now. There's still Juanita's. They changed nothing but from Juanita to Juantonio. This is perhaps like one of my favorite side dishes ever and everyone else's. It's my go-to potluck or like, oh, just bring whatever thing. It's so good, so easy. It's an hour on the smoker that takes like 3.5 minutes to set up. It's phenomenal. This is my other thing is smoked queso.
I love it. I've had your smoked queso. Yeah. And it's good. I'm going to bookmark this recipe because I'm into it.
You could probably.
I've never made smoked queso. I don't have a smoker, but
you could achieve it on your grill, I think.
I am going to get a smoker this year. I'm going to get a cheap, small smoker. Not super cheap, not super small. But
like an electric smoker? Like
an upright? No. I'll get an actual pellet, but like a tabletop pellet smoker.
Dude, get the Pit Boss.
Okay.
It's so easy.
I'm gonna do the thing and I'm gonna find something. But I don't want a big one. I don't want a big full size smoker. Well, that may change, you know.
When men hit 35, they suddenly like whiskey. And smoking meat. It's like a weird thing that happens to us.
I have my other thing, Andrew, is an impulse buy. And it's an impulse buy that I.
Oh, interesting.
I can't really explain. I bought something recently. I didn't need it. I didn't need it.
Did you have a use for it? Or were you just like.
Didn't have a use for it. It was one of those things I was reading some sort of article. It was an interview, and what's your most used thing? My most used thing is
the toilet.
a sewing nipper made by a brand called DN, and they come in a 3-pack, and you get them on Amazon, and they're $7 and for three, and I love them. They're super sharp and they work really well. And if they break, you're not heartbroken. And there's three of them, so you can put them everywhere and blah, 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 blah. So
and when they get dull, who cares? Just throw it in the trash.
And so I was like, you know, I like everything you're saying. I like everything about this product. So I bought three nippers, sewing nippers. What these are made for, these are little squeezy nippers. They're not like scissors with handles. Rather,
no, sewing scissors.
They're like spring action with a single hinge all the way at the back and just a single pivot, right? It's not a center pivot like scissors. They're just
a U-pivot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. A U-pivot. I bought these on the recommendation. I just Googled this thing and I bought a 3-pack of these. And I'm instantly like, what have I been doing my whole life that I didn't have these already? They've instantly become just like one of my most used things. So they're not lovingly crafted. These are not, quote unquote, buy it for life.
They're disposable.
They are disposable and still incredibly quality. You can tell that the blades on these things are good. I mean, we're not talking about Magna Cut, made in the USA, hand ground. With that said, they're sharp as shit. They cut things, and the way they work, you know what we're talking about. I have just been snipping things. I've just been nipping things, Andrew. They work for opening packages.
That was my immediate thought, is how many packages of mail have you opened with these? Because I hate that my kitchen shears are utility house scissors.
You can open mail, you can open, and you can also do kitchen things, right? Any like package you need to open, zip, zip, zip. I cannot overstate how enamored I've been with this stupid $2.10 each or whatever the
this is math like your Y peeler.
Uh-huh. It's exactly the same. Because that was also a 3-pack, also like $10, also a random article that was like, these things are great. I never am 2 feet away from same exact thing, Andrew. I just love them. And I just ordered new Y peelers because I was down to one and it was getting kind of manky.
I have a Hugs and Kisses one that the adhesive has failed on the between the grip and the peeler. So I have to like use the strong hand maneuver to hold it in place.
We're gonna relink both of these things.
I'm not gonna relink the Y peeler unless you send me a link.
I will. Okay. I will. We're gonna relink both of these things today because you can for $20 get 3 peelers, which are the best peelers on the face of the earth.
Yeah, at that point I think it was like a wire cutter, like these are the ones.
And 3 nippers, which are also terrific for $20. You can do it right now. Amazon Prime, they will be delivered to your house
sometime in the next week because Amazon Prime 2-day shipping is gone.
Yeah, that's right. It's now like 3 to 5 day shipping. That's okay.
It's not. That's the whole reason I paid for Amazon Prime.
Andrew, you have links to both of these. They will both be in the show notes.
You pulled that up quick.
I'm quick.
Yeah, I guess when you're only working with one tab.
You got anything else you want to add before we go? Because, man.
I'm out of things.
Hey, you guys, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, sincerely, genuinely, earnestly, for joining us for this episode of 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast. I'm touching my chest. Andrew can confirm.
Yes, he's holding his heart. It's not a cardiac event.
Do me a favor, go to the website, watchclicker.com. That is where we post every single episode of this podcast, but also where we post really interesting, well-written, thoughtful, written materials and pretty pictures. If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that at WatchClicker or at 40and20 underscore WatchClicker on Instagram. That is our primary social media home. If you want to support us and really genuinely, we hope you do, because it takes a little bit of money to keep this thing going. The people who support us on patreon.com are the ones that are keeping this going. patreon.com/40and20. Give us $1 or $2, $5 a month. Whatever joy you get from this should equal the amount of money you give us. So if it's zero, that means you get zero joy.
Don't blame you.
And don't forget to tune back in next Thursday for another hour of watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like.
Bye-bye.